Festival, St. Peter and St. Paul. It's kind of hard to preach on both St. Peter and St. Paul since there's so much on each one of them. But today is the day, it's really tomorrow, the day the church has set aside to honor and to remember these two great apostles. So we pray that God would bless us tonight as we hear his word. We also have a special treat. We can't call him former vicar anymore. He is pastor-elect. Pastor-elect Marcus Williams. It is, you didn't have to stand up. He was getting water. Pastor-elect Marcus Williams is here tonight and en route. They've been visiting family in Oklahoma. Jill's family, where are you at? She was here before. I don't know. Where are they at? Must be in the bathroom or something. But, cry room. All right, you can wave through the two-way glass there. But Jill and Ephraim, and all of a sudden there's a new little baby vicar, Patrick Michael. Does that sound right? And so tonight after church we'll have a little reception back in the fellowship hall, no Bible study tonight, and you'll get a chance to visit with them and meet the family and have some sweet treats as well. So we are very, very honored that between Oklahoma and they're going to Idaho, and then Pastor will be receiving his ordination and first call in Dual Parish in northern Montana. We are very, very excited. Chinook and Haver. All right. So we're very, very excited to have them back and that they would take time out of their travels. If you look, it's not really a direct line from Oklahoma to Montana to come through Lincoln. So we're very happy to have them here. Yes, we have our current vicar here as well. We haven't gotten rid of him yet, but we are about ready to retread vicars as we do every year. And kind of a special treat, I got a phone call early this morning from almost vicar Lawson Short, and he said that he and his mom would be in church with us tonight. So, Lawson, you want to raise your hand? That is our new vicar, but he's not a vicar yet. You can stand up. All right. Yeah, his name is Short, but he's not. So, we have a virtual vicar fest tonight, past, present, and future. And so this will be a great opportunity to be reminded also of what a great blessing the vicar program is here in our congregation. A couple of words on our worship service for tonight, our opening hymn, The Church's One Foundation, 644. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of prayer and preaching. That's on page 260 and following. Have a worship insert for the night. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and to hear your word. We thank you for the gift of Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, which has won for us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have knit us together into the Holy Christian Church, the power of the Holy Spirit calling, gathering, enlightening, and keeping us in the one true faith. Teach us tonight that it is not our work, it is not our effort, it is not our innovation, it is Christ and his word that truly builds the church. Help us to remember that today and tomorrow and always. It is in the powerful and precious name of Jesus that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 644.
Service of prayer and preaching, page 260. Please stand. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
The first reading for the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul is from Acts chapter 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual.
How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who publish peace and bring good news of salvation. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me, God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the introit.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever and ever.
reading from St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house.
Please stand.
You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is surely from this verse that Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession concerning the church makes the bold assertion that at all times there must be and remain one holy Christian church. That is, at every time Christ's church will be unto the very end of the age. Thus, when it is confessed that there must be and remain one holy Christian church, It is not as though the confessors meant to say, since the church must be and remain, you, O man, are primarily responsible to keep the gears turning. No, these words from Article 7 rest upon the comforting words of the Lord Jesus. I will build my church. And of course, if Jesus builds his church, surely at all times there it must be and remain. For God himself is the chief architect. Thus it is written in Psalm 127 in verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. However, as the case has it, in our gospel, Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And surely Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession has this to say about the church. It goes on to confess that the church is the assembly of all believers among whom the gospel is purely preached and the holy sacraments are administered according to the gospel. What does it all mean? It means that Jesus, who builds the church, does so through means. Those means which he has instituted and commanded. And indeed, apart from such means, there is no promise that Jesus will build his church. So, Christ builds the church. But he gives man things to do. What gives? It seems kind of like a contradiction. If Christ is the one who builds his church, then why doesn't he just do it himself? Why in the world would he put it in the hands of sinful men? Well, in a certain sense, even through sinful men, Christ does do it himself. For the power of the gospel, the power of holy baptism, of holy absolution, and of the Lord's Supper does not come from nor originate in man. Indeed, it cannot. It is the institution and command of Jesus, that is, his word, that gives these things power to forgive sins, to save, and in that way to build the church. And herein is precisely the point, that the one holy Christian church has continued from Adam unto the present age is enough evidence alone that Christ is the one who builds it amongst the foibles and the failures, indeed the sins, of those who preach, teach, baptize, absolve, and feed, and even among those who hear such preaching and absolution, who receive holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. As it is with Psalm 127 and verse 1, so it is with the church. All glory is given to Christ who builds and sustains the church. But note that even though the Lord builds the house, nevertheless there are laborers. It just so happens, however, that it is the vanity of the laborers where the vanity of the laborers is to be found in their refusal to give all glory to God who accomplishes the building through their efforts. Thus, man is not given to sit on his hands in the world, nor is he given to sit on his hands in the church and simply wait for God to act apart from his appointed means. No, man is to set himself to the task appointed to him by the Lord. Thus, in the church, there are those who preach and teach, and there are those who hear and support such preaching and teaching. So for pastors, we've already heard it from the Augsburg Confession. They are to preach the gospel purely, and they are to administer the holy sacraments according to that self-same gospel. But hear too the word of the Lord to pastors. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For this is the living voice of Jesus, and it is only heard in his word and through the preaching thereof. Thus pastors can never remain silent, but must press on in the work they have been given to do, so that Jesus, working through the diligence of the pastor, may indeed build and sustain the body of Christ. In this way, also, we see that pastors are never to speak their own word or from their own authority, but are only appointed to speak the words of the Father, who in turn gives those words to the Lord Jesus, who in turn gives those words to the Holy Spirit, who in turn gives those words to man, so that pastors preach the Spirit-given words, so that those who hear would have their hearts broken in contrition and would be turned from their sin to faith, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to confess the Lord Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and in turn to give thanks to their Heavenly Father. In addition to those who hear, do not be lazy in your hearing. God has given you ears for a reason. And the third commandment requires that you fear and love God so that you do not despise preaching, which is not only to absent yourself from church, but it's to sit in a pew and not pay attention to what is being spoken. Rather than to despise the preaching and His word, you are to hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Thus hear and learn. Of yourselves, you can do no good thing. Indeed, your whole self is corrupted by sin and indeed deserves nothing else than eternal judgment and condemnation. The gates of hell that desire to assail the church do indeed assail those who are outside the body of Christ. According to your natural self, you are in the devil's ranks. Thus, sin is not simply doing wrong things, but it is a corruption of every part of you to the end that you were at one time even called an enemy of God. And we all know what enemies desire to do. They desire to tear down and to kill and to place themselves in the place of the one they have destroyed. Thus, sin desires to cast God from His throne and to place man upon it. Such desire is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it. In addition, hear and learn. As the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh crouch at the door, there is one who crouches behind them. Only he doesn't mean to strike with a kind of warlike force. And instead of crouching, he is sort of lying there, defenseless, in the hopes that the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh will catch his scent, turn, and pounce on him instead of you, in place of you. Indeed, he is Jesus, the builder of the church. And he first begins the construction by allowing his enemies to destroy the temple of his body for your sake, that suffering in your place, he would spare you of what you rightfully deserve, that dying in your stead, you may overcome death, and that rising to new life, as he says, he might proclaim the greatest absolution the world has ever known. And so he has. Thanks be to God. As we press on toward glory, therefore, let us cling fast to the promise of our Lord. I will build my church and confess along with our forefathers in the faith. At all times there must be and remain one holy Christian church. It is the assembly of all believers among whom the gospel is purely preached, and the holy sacraments are administered according to the gospel. The enemies of faith will without doubt continue to surround the church, pressing in on her from every side. The gates of hell burn hot against the kingdom of God. The darkness seems to gain ground as Christians continue to be marginalized, persecuted, and even killed. But the light of Christ will remain. That is His promise. Thus fear not and confess, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, knowing that we need not despair, but remain confident that the church will remain however great the multitude of the ungodly is. For Christ continually bestows those gifts he has promised to the church. Forgiveness of sins, answered prayer, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives you all your sins and the sins of all believers. The Lord does truly build his church, and let us have full confidence in that truth, lest we labor in vain. In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue with hymn 645.
Yeah.
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who builds and sustains his church. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus Christ for you would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Page 265 and following. Please stand as you're able. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes and in our bulletin for this evening, we pray for Good Shepherd member Raleigh Victor, who is currently hospitalized. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine grace, peace, and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, including the Phillips family, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying and for all those who care for them, especially this day we lay before you Raleigh, Georgine, Weldon, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day, for the family of Will Gottwalt, for the family of Kevin Wagner, for the family of Clara Dinas, for the family of Bonnie Gass, and for all those that we remember in our hearts. that their peace, comfort, hope, and ultimately joy would be in the crucified and resurrected Jesus for them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ.
For all those who are receiving their first calls as pastor, including Pastor-elect Marcus Williams, for all those who are concluding their vicarage service, and for all those who are set to begin, that their proclamation would be faithful according to your word and your word alone. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Merciful and eternal God, your holy apostles Peter and Paul receive grace and strength to lay down their lives for the sake of your Son. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit that we may confess your truth and at all times be ready to lay down our lives for him who laid down his life for us, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray together.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins, where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angels
and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, 648, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken. and welcome in the name of Jesus. Remember, we're having a Vicar Fest tonight. We have Vicar Past, Pastor-elect, great job, beautiful feet, just like our gradual said for tonight. Vicar Current, Vicar Scammon, and not quite Vicar, but almost Vicar, Lawson Short, and his mother, Sandy, are with us tonight. So again, welcome, great to have you here. Hope we didn't scare you away. But I guess you're stuck with us for 12 months, whether you want to be or not. So here you are. We've got goodies in the fellowship hall. Please join us. Get a chance to meet the rest of the Williams family, and especially the new addition since they've been here at Good Shepherd, Patrick Michael. God's blessings on, I told him that would be a great first sermon for his congregations in Montana. The church and the what of the church, the why of the church, the how of the church, thanks be to God. Join us for some goodies. The new portals of prayer are out on the information booth. They start 1st of July, so help yourself to those. We are still gathering some paper goods for Tabitha and Lutheran Family Services, so if you can bring us some paper goods, that would be great. We'll make sure we get them to the right place at the right time. Good Shepherd news and notes, everything in the weeks and days ahead are listed there. Vicar, anything else? Pastor Murundy, I believe, is in North Dakota right now on vacation. Keep he and his family in your prayers, and they'll be back around the 4th of July. I think that's all. Excellent job. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the live broadcast of the Wednesday evening service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church with Pastor Poppy and Pastor Mirande. Join us for worship on Sundays at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is located at 3825 Wildbriar Lane, just north of Old Cheney on 40th Street. If you have questions or would like to talk to Pastor Poppy or Pastor Mirande, please call at 402-423-7639.
Christ's Living Word for You on KNNA 95.7 FM, The Cross.
It's 728.
You're listening to KNNA 95.7, where the temperature is 87.